Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that Uppers refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 13th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is indeed hour one of two in our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America is indeed our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restoratives. Solutions we have at our fingertips, and as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled. We're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time, Friday. Now, you know what? It is Friday the 13th, though. And a lot of those folks with superstition would be all freaked out about that. See, I don't believe in superstition. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe God's in charge, ladies and gentlemen. And I have hope and faith in all that, and I understand it, and God loves me, and I do my best to love him and to follow his guidance and commandments for me, and in that there are blessings. Doesn't matter if it's Friday. Every day, God loves me. Doesn't matter if it's the 13th. Every date, the Lord loves me. And I want to do my best to keep his commandments and receive blessings in return, because what? He's my father, and I'm his son. We are the literal offspring of God Almighty according to the Bible. And as a result, what a blessed day today is. Nevertheless, it's Friday the 13th. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing fantastic. I got a bunch of little tidbits for you the first hour. The good Dr. Scott Bradley jumps into the broadcast on hour two. And we got a whole lot to talk about. Baby, first, yesterday's recap starts now. We had our guest on, Mr. Brian Rust, rustcoinandgift.com, over the past 50 years. Brian and family have been educating folks about encouraging people to take possession of their precious metals. rustcoinandgift.com. Of course, Kelly Finnegan, senior chemist, was with us, joins on air as well. Great, great broadcast. We talked about the Honest Money Report, gold, silver down. It just shows the plunge protection team all in the mix, manipulating the economy till the cows come home. We have left the free market, the free enterprise system, a long time ago. We ought to return to it if we would do so. Return to honest money and return to the free enterprise system. We would have the greatest economic engine the world has ever known once again. That's why we pray for and work towards restoring that reality. We also talked about, since the start of this year, Bitcoin. Its price movement is closely mirrored that of the NASDAQ. In the last month, it's lost 25%. Since November's high, it's lost 50%. People are freaking out and melting down, but folks, it's being traded just like a commodity. Why? Because it is a commodity. The Bitcoin plunge came in near lockstep with the broader stocks meltdown. Investors are dealing with higher interest rates, war in the Ukraine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But look, it's just a fiat currency, folks. And I don't know if it'll go bankrupt or what'll happen, but I know it's volatile as all get out. And for you folks who believe it's a stabilizing influence, you're wrong. For those of you who believe it'll somehow make you rich like the gold rush, you're wrong. For those of you who are wise enough to not dip your toe in the crypto, good on you. For those of you who want to, you know, speculate and not put your whole life's wealth at risk but dabble in it, by all means, have a good time. But if you believe it's somehow going to separate us when it comes to government and money, you're wrong. They're going to go ahead and take over like they always have. It's risky tech stocks. It's risky currency, risky everything, right? It's always been that way, okay? Don't think it's any different. By the way, in March, U.S. casinos raked in a record sum, more than they have in any month in history, $5.3 billion. So listen, folks, you got the American Gaming Association. What a shame. What a blight on the country. So while inflation is just beating everybody up, because people have been pent up for 2 years, they're kind of wanting to get out and do something. Literally, you got the American Gaming Commission, American Gaming Association, whatever it's called. And these people are literally just fleecing Americans. Government engineered rape of everyone's wallet. Okay? Look. They say they raked in a sum of $5.3 billion. Look, it's always The House always wins. That's the way it's rigged, by government permission to steal from everyone. It's a shame. It's wrong. And you look at that, and you look at the murder of babies, and you go, no wonder America's in trouble, huh? Anyway, we talked about stocks and bonds. Early rally fades. Shares slide again. Technology stocks are just dropping. Yeah, that was on Wednesday. Thursday, not much of a change. A little bit, but not much. We also talked about the CDC reveals truly staggering stats on drug overdoses. More than 107,000 Americans died from overdoses. But the third cause of death in America, from what I understand, is physician malpractice. Yeah. Anyway, we talked about how now the FTC, Joe Biden has more appointees to the FTC, and the Federal Trade Commission will be going ahead and abusing the rest of us. Reigning in corporations is how they say it. But what it really means is governing by regulation, governing by unconstitutional body, becoming judge, jury, and executioner, violating the checks and balances that made America great, and violating the supreme law of the land's responsibilities of separations of powers, right? Beware, folks, it's a-coming. We also talked about a bill to preserve abortion rights fails in the Senate. That's good news. But again, the fight just begins. They're after it hardcore. They want death, and they don't like you preserving life. We also talked about Philip N. Jefferson, a college administrator and academic economist, now joins the Federal Reserve Board. Yeah, 91-7, even the Republicans doubled down in defense of this guy. Bottom line is, it's now the, third Biden nominee to be on the Fed. That's a seven-person board. Now three of them are appointed or put on in place by Obama. Or, I'm sorry, by Biden. By Joe Biden. So look out for that. Are you familiar with the taxes in the American colonies, ladies and gentlemen? We talked about that some. The single home tax, the frontage tax, and the windows tax. Very interesting indeed. And that wraps up hour one, the Honest Money Report with Brian Rust of RustQuantumGift.com. Hour two, we had our guest on, Mr. Larry Pratt, former of Gun Owners of America, now retired. But we discussed all things liberty. We talked about the court overrules California's ban on sales of semi-automatic weapons to people under 21. They're able to die for their country. They should certainly be able to arm themselves, says the courts. And to say otherwise is absolutely unconstitutional. It violates the Second Amendment as well. Amen to that reality check. They say it's not a total win for gun owners, but it's a huge start, ladies and gentlemen. Let's take some cred when we can. And let's celebrate for a second and then go back to work, shall we? We talked about Joe Biden's Ministry of Truth to silence gun owners. The GOA punches back against Biden's Ministry of Truth. Eric Pratt, Larry's son, wrote the article, and it's a great article highlighting that, you know what, we have a problem, folks. The Ministry of Truth will operate under the moniker of disinformation. That's the problem. Do you want the government deciding what's true and not, what can be said and not, what's facts and not? Violation of the First Amendment via your government. We got to stop Joe and reject the Ministry of Truth in America, ladies and gentlemen, and you got to stand up and do it now. We talked about top Democratic leaders with oversight of the National Institutes of Health, in other words, the NIH, are keeping quiet about the $350+ million given to, a couple of hundred scientists led by, we're back to Tony Fauci, should be fired, should be criminally prosecuted, but no, he got $350+ million in secret money. The Republicans are mad about it and asking about it, but again, they just babble and don't do anything. There's going to be no arrest. There's going to be no accountability. The American people just spend money ad nauseum. It's belligerence, as if we have the money in the first place. We're $30 trillion plus in debt, folks, and we just hand out that secret money to these top criminals. Scientists that lied to you on COVID, that lied to you about the pandemic, knowing that it was an intentionally released bioweapon, intentionally created and released, and then the countermeasure, the anecdote, if you will, again, being another bioweapon, all of it manipulates your cells, all of it messes with your DNA, all of it will absolutely impact your health down the road, but they lied, and we, the taxpayers, paid them $350 million in secret money to carry out the lie. We destroyed the economy. I could go on and on and on and on. And now we go, wow, glad we can go to the Las Vegas and gamble there. Then the gambling cartel steals half of our money. Ladies and gentlemen, what a shame. Now, I know you have the choice to gamble or not to. I don't gamble, and I recommend you don't gamble either, but I'm just telling you, what a shame in America. Democrats are literally seeking to increase their climate agenda. They're going to force their climate agenda down your throats via the federal bureaucracy rather than go through Congress because everybody's against them on the climate change hoax. Yeah, they got sweeping regulations all over the place, all, again, via these government agencies I warned you about, judge, jury, and executioner. There's no accountability. It's all just lawmaking by regulation. It is an absolute travesty. We also talked about Biden recently signing into law a requirement that all vehicles produced after 2026 has a remote kill switch in them. If you have an electric vehicle now, you probably already have a kill switch in your vehicle. But mandated kill switches by Joe, 2026, it's already passed into law, which means your Congress doubled down and backed it as well, and the media forgot to tell you about it. What are you going to do, just drive around an old vehicle so you don't have a kill switch or what? Yeah, looks like Fox News and Newsmax banning all mention of 2,000 Mules, the incredible film. We're going to be digging a lot into that film, ladies and gentlemen. Tomorrow, we're going to have me and Chris Carlson break it down. On Tuesday, with Bridie on TV, we're going to simulcast on video. We're going to have some of the folks that made the film on the simulcast, the Sheriff Mac Show, and, of course, Liberty Roundtable Live on Tuesday. So get ready for that. We're going to drill into this. We're going to take this thing. We got to take action, folks. Criminal activity was committed. Will there be accountability and prosecutions? We sure pray the answer's yes. Liberty Roundtable Live continues in seconds.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah, a message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Right, Sam Bushman live and on your radio, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips always. All right, so as you know, I went to Mount Vernon, and I told you I had some incredible sound bites that I'd be sharing, etc. So I've got two sound bites from Mount Vernon. It was when I was there last week. I guess it was this week I finished up. But anyway, I guess it was earlier this week. Man, time sure seems... You get home from a trip and it feels like it was forever ago, but it was just recently. Anyway, earlier this week, I should say, I went to Mount Vernon and I got two sound bites from that. One of them, you know, when you walk around, they have audio tours. One of them is just a clip from the audio tour that I thought was really interesting and worth playing. The second one are my thoughts as I stood at the George Washington tomb, right? So Mount Vernon, and you got to contemplate this question as we listen to these sound clips. George Washington, is he the greatest leader of all time? Not counting, of course, the Savior Jesus Christ. I'm talking about mere mortal men here, right? I think George Washington was the greatest leader of all time, if not one of the greatest leaders of all time. Which man has the chance to be a king and rejects it? Which man has the chance to, just live peacefully? He has plenty of acres, plenty of money, plenty of everything. Servants, the whole bit. Not that I'm for the slavery. Don't go off on a rail. Slavery is evil and wrong. Y'all know that. Okay, stop. But he had everything. But he comes out and he goes to work and he works for America over and over and over as the general, as the president, a man who was literally everybody mutinied but him, virtually. Now you can say, well, not everybody, Sam. I know. I'm just telling you that without him staying steady, would be in serious. It would have never happened, right? A man who turned to God, a man who was humble, a man who was a great leader, a man who loved his wife. Romance, or whatever you want to say, between George and Martha, legendary. They loved each other. They were dedicated to one another. Anyway, I'm just saying, he didn't even have to be a leader. Some of the greatest leaders are people who don't have to, but they do so willingly because they see something greater than themselves. That was George, right? All right, anyway, here is the little soundbite, if you will, from the Mount Vernon audio tour. Here it is.
It's safe to say that when George Washington unexpectedly died on December 14th, 1799, the nation was stunned. 2 days earlier, he had taken his daily ride across his property in cold, rainy weather. He arrived home in time for dinner, but as a punctual man, he had no time to change out of his cold, wet clothing. Washington's throat became sore and worsened into what the doctors called quinsy, or a swelling of the throat. After an agonizing 36 hours, George Washington died at the age of 67.
The family originally placed Washington's body in Mount Vernon's family tomb. Before he died, however, Washington knew the old tomb was in poor condition and requested in his will that a new tomb be built. He even chose a location for it.
The family vault at Mount Vernon requiring repairs and being improperly situated besides, I desire that a new one of brick and upon a larger scale may be built at the foot of what is commonly called the vineyard enclosure on the ground which is marked out.
For all his years in public service, Washington didn't want an elaborate funeral.
And it is my express desire that my corpse may be interred in a private manner without parade or funeral oration.
But that didn't stop the country from expressing countless displays of national sorrow. Congress adjourned, funeral processions were planned, businesses closed, and bells tolled. Guns were fired and many eulogies were given.
The most famous remembrance was given by General Light Horse Harry Lee, a close friend to George Washington.
First in war, first in peace, and first in the hearts of his countrymen, he was second to none in the humble and endearing scenes of private life. Pious, just, humane, temperate, and sincere. Uniform, dignified, and commanding. His example was as edifying to all around him as were the effects of that example lasting.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I just wanted to play that because it's really helpful to understand. Even on his death, he didn't want big pomp and fanfare. He's just like, hey, you know what? I just want to be at peace. I want to upgrade my tomb a little bit because but other than that, hey, I don't want pomp. But the nation loved him and wanted to celebrate his life, his legacy. And sorrow in his death, wisely so at the time. But they mentioned this quinsy that he died from. Quinsy is like, some would say it was kind of an outgrowth of strep throat. Others would say it's a tonsillitis or kind of an abscess that went wrong or whatever. I don't know how to compare old diseases versus new monikers and names of things. And, you know, all I know is he basically got sick and died. What a sad tale for an incredible leader. But this is where, you know, the enemies would attack George and say he was a bad man because he had slaves. Well, Martha, his wife, brought a lot of the slaves to the marriage. But slavery or not, you know, he did his best to treat people right. He did his best to realize that he was not above the average American. In fact, he considered himself just an average American, a farmer. And a great leader such as George was one who was willing to put the needs of the country above his own. I mean, look, you go to Mount Vernon, it's one of the most beautiful places, man, ever. It is very, very cool. It's got a little wharf, and it, you know, it was it exactly like I see it now? I don't know. I assume not. I assume there's a lot of modern things there now comparatively, but all I'm telling you is a beautiful place. He was absolutely comfortable there with his wife and his businesses, and, you know, hey, he was gone so much of the time that, you know, everybody else could run the whole plantation or the farm or whatever you want to call it while he was gone. So it's not like he even had to work. He could just enjoy his property, enjoy his wife, enjoy his life. But no, he went and served his country. And he did so, in my opinion, in every way with honor. Every way with honor. George Washington, an absolute American hero. All right, I recorded some thoughts when I was standing at the tomb and at the wharf. Here they are.
All right, I'm broadcasting live. I'm in front of General George Washington's tomb. It's like a little family cemetery here at Mount Vernon. And on George Washington's grave, I'm going to have my son read exactly what it says here.
Ahead of the archway leading into the presentation of the sarcophagi of General Washington and his wife Martha is inscribed the following, quote, "Within the enclosure rest the remains of General George Washington. Within the enclosure and above the two sarcophagi, we can see an inscription of scripture from the Bible that reads the following, quote, I am the resurrection and the life, saith the Lord. He that believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And that is John, I believe, 20:12. The inscription's a little hard to read, but I believe it's John 1:25 or so.
All right, so there you have that. Very interesting. It is a family cemetery, so on John Washington's grave. And who's John, do we know? Okay, so here it is.
John Augustine Washington was the nephew of General George Washington. He is also buried here. On his inscription, it reads that he was firm in every honorable purpose and pursuit, yet gentle, humane, and condescending, an interesting adjective. Today, we think of that as a negative connotation. However, referring to the Webster's Dictionary of 1828, we get a different view of the adjective, condescending, meaning to descend from rank or distinction in the intercourse of life, receding from rights or claims, yielding. Second definition is yielding to inferiors, courteous, obliging. So it's truly a positive and a very complimentary adjective to use, which is vastly different from the way it's used today.
It is way different than it was used today. Also, the fascinating detail is, remember, the Savior is known for his great condescension, going below all of us as he gave his life for us and died on the cross and was buried in the tomb and then was resurrected. And so that's an interesting kind of comparison, that condescension. Way different than we use today, but quite an admirable position to take as an individual, as a quality, one of the attributes, the qualities of your life. We found that fascinating as we visited the grave. We also note kind of a...
All right, hang tight, pause. All right, so we'll come back after the break and play the rest of my thoughts and commentary. But George was like John, his nephew. They were condescending, meaning they chose not to be elite, even though they had everything. They chose to live with, surround themselves with, we the people. And George decided to be just, he just wanted to go back and be a farmer. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. as mothers across the country continue to struggle to find baby formula to feed their infants. Republicans are angry that the feds are sending baby formula to the Texas border to feed illegal immigrants. Florida Republican Congresswoman Kat Kamick posting a picture on her Facebook page showing pallets of baby formula at a processing center in the border town of McAllen. The White House is throwing some shade at Russian President Vladimir Putin for threatening retaliations if Finland joins NATO.
I would just like to quote the president of Finland and what he said, which I don't think I could state it better in response to this question, which is, as it relates to Russia, you caused this. Look at the mirror.
Press Secretary Jen Psaki saying Putin caused the ongoing turmoil in Eastern Europe by invading Ukraine. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-9336. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-444-9336. 800-444-9336.
The House January 6 committee has issued subpoenas for five House Republicans, GOP leader Kevin McCarthy, Representatives Jim Jordan of Ohio, Scotty Perry of Pennsylvania, Andy Biggs of Arizona, and Mo Brooks of Alabama. Speaking on Fox News, Representative Andy Biggs of Arizona says he has no involvement in any rallies.
But this notion that I somehow was involved in planning a rally, not true. Planning people coming to the Capitol, not true. I've denied that hundreds of times, multiple media outlets. That's simply untrue.
The congressman also says he feels that this is more about headlines than actually uncovering the truth. Mercedes-Benz is recalling more than 292,000 vehicles. They include 2006 through 2012 model GL, ML, and R-Class SUVs. You're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I've titled this Sam from Mount Vernon, George Washington, the greatest leader of all time. And I'm in the middle of this. We talked about this condescension adjective used to describe John Washington, who was a nephew of George. But they both had this quality. It's a quality of the savior that we understood back in 1828 and earlier. It's a term that we use now only kind of in negative terms. Condescending is a negative term. It was not negative. In fact, what an admirable trait, to say the least. And George and John had this in abundance, ladies and gentlemen. So did Martha. You know, she could have been an elite elect lady, but she chose to literally rally with the troops and, leave her comfortable home and go out there with George and be by his side. And everybody loved her because of this quality we're discussing. All right, my final comments continue. All right, we're getting this soundbite ready here, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, I'm broadcasting live. I'm from General George.
Okay, we're going to have to fast forward to the right spot
kind
there.
Kind of another unique tidbit. I'm going to refer to my wife on this one. Julie, do you want to explain the way the bodies are?
Yeah, within the tomb, you see two sarcophagi. Martha's on the left, and George Washington is on the right. They're above ground, and it's a marble sarcophagus for each one. And I asked the lady, and she said that their bodies are actually in there, and Inside, there's an oak coffin and a mahogany coffin that are lead-lined, and then they're cemented into this marble sarcophagus. And so, you know, there's three or so layers. And then behind the two sarcophagi, you see the metal door. And behind that, there's 25 family members buried in within that vault. So
very unique. Again, rarely when you go to a place do you know actually where the body is. It's somewhere buried in the ground. You assume it's right where they mark it, but you don't really know. And in this case, the bodies are really enshrined right here. Very unique. George Washington died in 1799. And then his dear wife, Martha, died just a couple of years later. And I think 1802, was it?
Yes.
1802. And George was 67 when he passed away. I guess he died of a throat virus or a throat ailment. I'm not sure if it was strep throat or what it was. But he passed away. And then Martha passed away just three years later. And she was 70 years old. So George was 67 and she was 70. Both fairly young for their passing. It's a very beautiful place here. It's in the shade, but yet there's sun all around as well. There's trees. It's just a beautiful place for their tomb. And we're spending time here. We're going to go eat lunch at the Mount Vernon restaurant coming up, where they have some crab soup that I'm going to try that's going to be delicious. They've got jambalaya. I'm excited about that. It's kind of an interesting between the southern and the north. George had many slaves, up to 300 and some odd slaves at a given time. When he passed away, he had 123 slaves, I think it was, and he freed them all. Very unique for his time. Just showing that, you know what, they were born into slavery or slave ownership or slave, whatever you want to call it, being masters of slaves. It wasn't that they loved it. It was the system that they were born into. It was the caste system that was at the time. Was it right? Of course not. We'll never justify it as correct or right or even acceptable. Any enslavement of one person to another is evil and wrong, without question. However, we need to understand that the people that were engaged in it, oftentimes it was the normalcy of their lives, and it was very hard to change. Thank heavens, in the land of the free, it did change, and that's a wonderful thing. At the same time, we ought not look back through our lens of modern view and mock or ridicule or down those who were involved in that system. George Washington at Mount Vernon at one time had up to 8,000 acres of land. Now that it's preserved, it's only 500 acres of land. And the Mount Vernon Ladies Association is who actually preserved it. I guess the Washington family let the property fall into huge disrepair. Much of it was sold off, etc. But about 500 acres was preserved by this ladies organization in the 1800s, from what we understand. And they basically took it under wing, cared for it. They really revived it, protected it. They now currently, even today, own it. And there's wonderful ladies that are dedicated, absolutely extremely dedicated to the cause, to care for Mount Vernon. The government didn't want it. The state of Virginia didn't want it for some strange reason back in the time, but these ladies did raise money and together put the money together and through their cooperative effort accomplished this great preservation. Very fascinating. They get no money from the government now, which is even more impressive in modern times. One of the things that's interesting is there's about 500 acres here now. It's a huge plantation. Back in the day of George Washington, there was five main farms that he owned, covering this 8,000 acres. It was a huge, huge enterprise. When George was president and taking care of politics and was involved in the wars before the or during the American Revolution, etc. Interestingly enough, he had all kinds of overseers. And he had more white paid overseers than anybody else. And so even many of the people who were on his farms were free people. There were certainly slaves. I'm not dismissing that. I'm just saying he enjoyed freedom. He embraced freedom. He taught of freedom. And even though he may not have been able to free his slaves during his lifetime, on his deathbed, he certainly freed his slaves, showing his true intent and desire for freedom for all. What a tremendous legacy for George Washington.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. A couple of things that I want to note about my audio clips. As you start hearing me breathing, my breathing a little hard as I finish that. It's because we started walking and we're hiking in the sun. And so I'm doing this narrative while hiking from the tomb area of George Washington and the wharf area all the way back to where we're going to go eat lunch. And so that's the reason for my breathing. I'm just going because I'm hiking and it's hot. And I'm anyway, just so you know that. Secondly, my son was in that clip, Adam, my oldest son. He's married and has children, two children, just wonderful family. They were with us. And man, being a grandfather is just wonderful. Anyway, and then the other one, the other person in that was my wife. My wife's Julie, and she was the one reading about the tomb construction and where the bodies were buried and all that. Anyway, that was my wife, Julie, and I thank them both for their involvement in that soundbite. They were gathering facts and information while I was recording the soundbite and getting all the information so that we could read exactly what was there. And very unique setting, but I wanted to clarify that. So that's the reason that I'm you know, difficulty breathing and all that. The other sounds while my son was reading and my wife was reading a little bit is wind. It was quite windy. There was a stiff breeze there. And so you hear some background noise and everything else. It's a lot of wind. And then the other noises that you hear are family members and just society at large. There were several people that were there visiting the tomb with us. It's a public place. And so whether I was at the National Archives, whether wherever I am, you hear the sounds of horses and of life and of people and of the I'm literally there, folks. This isn't just a review. I was literally there. And so all those sounds are just the sounds of normalcy, what you get when you're on scene. So Sam from Mount Vernon, ladies and gentlemen, the question, was George Washington the greatest leader of all time? Right? Was he? I think he was one of the greatest leaders of all time. I think he really was. I think he was one of the greatest leaders of all time. Anyway, very, very fascinating. I love to learn about that history. I just love the richness of American history. I love the sacrifice that others have made before us. I love the honor in which they lived their lives. In other words, they did things with honor, folks. Yes, you can look back and use our lens and destroy them and attack them. But if you look back in all honesty, they were wonderful, resilient, sacrificing, dedicated, humble, hardworking, honorable. I don't even know the adjectives to be used. Condescending. They were people who were amazing. Folks, George and Martha, even John. How many people know about John Washington, who was buried there, who had this unique attribute attributed to him on his tombstone? And you look at that and you go, man, our founding fathers, the founding stock, the founding era of America, was it an incredible time? The people who were involved were incredible people. Yeah, they had their faults. They were humans. They weren't like the Savior Jesus Christ. I'm not at all giving them that kind of credit. We don't worship any of these people. But we do need to realize their commitment. We need to realize their incredible understanding. And then the service that they gave to their God and to their fellow countrymen and to their family, God, family, and country. Like I say, it's something to behold. All right, quick pause, final segment this hour in seconds. Second hour, the good Dr. Scott Bradley joins me. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems at all times and in all places is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Looks like the U.S. stockpile of diesel fuel, ladies and gentlemen, which is vital for the transportation sector and for the economy at large, had a nearly 2-decade low as fuel prices hit a record high on Wednesday. Wow. The nationwide stockpile of this fuel oil category, which includes diesel and fuel oil, declined to about 104 million barrels. They say the lowest level since 2005. That's according to, listen, the Energy Information Administration. Did you know we had an Energy Information Administration, ladies and gentlemen? The amount of government is just, the size and scope of government is just beyond imagination. They say East Coast inventories declined to about 2 weeks' worth of supply, ladies and gentlemen. That's the lowest level since data was recorded in 1990. I wouldn't be surprised if there was rationing on the East Coast, said the CEO of United Refining Co. or Company, told Bloomberg on Wednesday. Now inventory says we're going to have a shortage. $5.56 a gallon on Wednesday, the highest level ever recorded, according to AAA. Wow. They call diesel the lifeblood of the American economy. Wow. I'm just telling you that, folks, this is disaster. They say several refineries which process crude oil and turn it into diesel have closed because of the COVID-19 and then the induced recession. Now, folks, when you say the induced recession, what you mean is the government-mandated recession. They forced this to happen. Yeah, the refineries are down 10% since 2016, ladies and gentlemen. We're in serious trouble. And it's, in my opinion, government-manufactured trouble. It really is. It's flat-out government-created. It is insanity, folks. Anyway, I don't know how to respond to that, except for you're going to have shortages. And the problem with the diesel shortages, ladies and gentlemen, is I don't know if you understand, but once you have diesel shortages, even if you don't have shortages of everything else, you're going to have shortages because you can't get the everything else where it needs to go. You follow me? In other words, let's say we have plenty of shoes, just an example. But if you can't get the shoes from point A to point B because there's no diesel fuel, or there's a shortage or a rationing or whatever you want to say, then even though there's not a shortage of shoes, there's a shortage of shoes, right? Because you can't get the shoes, see? So anyway, this is a serious problem, and they're warning us that it's a-coming. So folks, I recommend, and I highly encourage you, don't hoard and get all crazy, and don't go into debt, and don't get wild, but do intelligently plan. Look at the four fundamentals that I've highlighted over 25 years. And out of those food or those four fundamentals, get the basics and do so over time. A little bit out of every paycheck, a little bit at a time. When you go to the store, buy a little bit of extra food for the food storage pantry. Okay, it's called a rainy day fund, but it's not just money, it's everything. And the four main categories that I mentioned that you do this in is food. That means, you know, food and water. The average person needs about a gallon of water a day, folks. We're talking for just bathing and drinking and sanitary conditions. And I mean, you got to have a minimum of that. Look, if you got a family of four, just say that's 4 gallons a day. In 1 week, it's 28 gallons of water you need at a minimum. 2 weeks, you need 56 gallons. See, it's time to get one of those big 50-gallon barrels or whatever and fill that dude up and put a little bit of chemical in it to make sure that it can stabilize and last for a long time and everything. You got to do this. But you get a little bit of food when you go to the store. Just buy a couple of extra cans of tuna fish or buy a little bit of extra pasta or buy an extra jar or two of peanut butter or buy some flour or some rice or some wheat or some, you know, whatever. It's better to stick more to what you eat too, right? So you need two long-term storable realities. You need the short-term storable. In other words, stuff that you use all the time. If we're out for a week or two or three, you're fine. That's the peanut butter and the soup and the cans and the stuff that I'm talking about, right? But then you need long-term storable food, too, from companies that create this stuff that can last up to 25 years long. You need some of that, too. So you got to strategically work on this, but a little bit at a time. Before you know it, if you keep steady at it, it's a lot of time. If I spend 10 minutes a day studying the scriptures, for instance, it doesn't sound like much, 5 or 10 minutes a day, no big deal. But you know what? Over years and years and years of studying the scriptures, you can become a scriptorian doing that, right? Well, the same thing's true with food. So get food and water. Store it up. Don't panic, but get it done. Okay? I also mentioned fuel. Same thing's true. Get a wood-burning stove. Build a woodshed. Stockpile some wood. Work on it. I don't have everything done that I'm telling you. I'm not perfect at it. I'm not, you know, just this consummate, I've got everything done. I don't have a George Washington Mount Vernon where everything can be produced on my own farm and everything. I'm not like that. I'm a city boy trying to work on that. But we can do it a little bit at a time. So get some fuel. Get ways, alternative ways to heat your home. For example, if you have gas heat normally, get an electric heater that you put in your garage or whatever. And if you ever need heat and you don't have gas for some reason, but you have electricity, you can do it. Or if your furnace breaks, you've got a backup or whatever. So it's food. That's food and water. Fuel. The next one is shelter. Make sure that you have a shelter, folks. And you know what? It's best to get it all paid off if you can. If you can't, though, you know what? Do the best you can. Find multiple shelters. If you ever had to flee from your shelter, where would you go? Do you have a plan in place? Where would you go? Let's say that all of a sudden there was a gas leak and you had to flee your house or something and some things blew up or whatever near your area. You know, these things happen in neighborhoods. And when they do, where will you go? Now, it can be, I don't have another shelter, Sam, but I've got family members. Great. Work out a deal between those family members where they can go to your house, you can go to their house. A lot of times it's not so much that you got to spend a gazillion dollars for this, but you got to make plans. You got to prepare. You got to have a plan in place. You got to have family meetings, family councils to discuss and work through this. So now we're talking food, fuel, shelter, clothing. I mentioned shoes right at the start of this, right? So when it comes to clothing, I'm saying, look, have some backup clothes in a 72-hour kit that you can grab and go. That way you got some backup clothes on the road if you're forced to leave or flee for any reason. And those backup clothes, you can't get them 10 years ago. You might be too fat, no offense. You might be too skinny. You might be, you know, you were a little kid when we packed this, and now you're a grown kid or an adult, and you got to keep up on that stuff and revisit it once or twice a year, right? Most people do spring cleaning, do your spring preparedness or whatever. But you got to have clothes, backup clothes. You got to have shoes. You say, well, I've got you. Yeah, what if they get wet? What if you're forced to flee? Do you have a way? Do you have some medical supplies if you're forced to flee? Do you got a 72-hour kit ready to roll? So you need to think kind of preparedness in three stages. That is immediate. That is if I have to flee versus if I have to stay. And then you got to think medium, long term, and then long term. Medium, long term says, hey, I can eat a can of soup 6 months later that I had in my storage. But that in 5 years is going to be bad. It expires. So you got to have long term storable food that's designed to last or deal with the test of time, so to speak, right? Preparedness is something that we can all do, and it takes practice, and it takes effort. It takes family councils. It takes planning. It takes a little bit at a time, and it takes absolute dedication and consistency. But if you haven't done it, please start on it, and please start on it now. So we've talked about emergencies, right? We've talked about some of this stuff, and it's important stuff. But I don't know if you know this now, but migrants are receiving an ample supply of formula. Yeah, immigrants, illegals crossing our border are receiving ample formula for their babies. But you know what? There's a shortage across America for our babies. Headline says migrants receive ample supply of baby formula. That's according to a Republican Florida rep by the name of Kat Kemick, or Kemick. And she says, while Americans are experiencing severe baby formula shortages. Now, this is an example where, why would the government do this? I don't know. But in my opinion, some wacko somewhere did this, right? Some wacko absolutely did this in government to say, hey, we're not going to let the American people have the formula. We're going to give it to the illegals who are coming into our country illegally. Look, that was a decision made by someone. And I don't know by who. Okay, but this is what I mean. This is criminal activity. The illegals in the first place, but then our government literally busing them all around the country and giving them supplies that they deny us. It's shameful. It's criminal, folks. I'm telling you right now, it's wow. But that's what they're doing. And so this is what I mean by get yourself a little bit of baby formula if you have babies. You know, I believe in mother's milk, and I believe in nursing first. Let baby formula be your backup. But for certain reasons, many people need to depend on it. I get it. I was adopted, and so my adopted mother didn't have milk to give me, so I had formula as a kid, right? I get it. It's necessary. But store a little bit. I know you can't store a ton, but you can have a couple of weeks' worth. You don't need to hoard and get all crazy. But preparedness is always a good thing. And this is just an example. You say, well, Sam, there's not even a shortage of formula. Right. But why would we have shortages of formula? Well, because of COVID. Folks, when did COVID end? Well, it's not ended, Sam. They're about to celebrate the millionth death. Celebrate what? Well, commemorate the million. What are they talking about, folks? This is what I mean. This is a manufactured crisis, a manufactured illness. It's a bioweapon, folks. So when they attack us, are you prepared to handle it? I know you can't prepare for everything. But we must do what we can within our own sphere, okay? I can't prepare for every contingency. I can't be ready for everything, I know. But I can do my best. I can watch the news. I can look at incredible leaders like George Washington from Mount Vernon. I can realize that migrants are receiving ample supplies of baby formulas while we, the American people, are being denied that same accessibility. Shortages for us. I realize the U.S. stockpile of diesel fuel is in question. Therefore, I'm going to do what I can, ladies and gentlemen, to reduce my dependency. As some people call it provident living. I'm going to do my best when it comes to provident living and live in a way that can preserve my family. I know I can't solve everything and I can't prepare for everything. I'm just a human. I can't trust in my own arm of flesh. But I can do my very best to prepare. And I can do my very best to be self-reliant. And then I can turn to God Almighty and say, Lord, I've done all that I can for myself and my family. And I know you put me on the earth and I know you love me and you put me here to succeed. And I have faith and trust in you and I'm going to do my best and then trust in you for the rest. Lord, that's what I'm going to do. Yeah, that's who I am. It's all about God, family, and country. It's a blessing to be here, ladies and gentlemen. It's a blessing for me to have the opportunity to spend time with you. Hopefully something I say will bless your life. Hopefully this radio program can help you become part of the great solution for the greatest country on the face of the earth and carry forward the incredible legacy of incredible leaders like George Washington. God bless you and all the work that you do, ladies and gentlemen. Without you, I wouldn't even be here. Donate liberally, would you please? LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Every penny you give us will be used to promote the sacred cause of liberty, to tell the tale of God, family, and country, to restore the republic and the traditions of our founders. After all, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.